Well, probably like all of you, one of the things that I enjoy a lot about Christmas is that I got to spend some time with my family. I'm blessed that I have both of my grandparents on my mom's side alive in Leavenworth, and we went to Lansing to my parents' house and then over to Grandma's for Christmas, just like I've done almost every Christmas my entire life. I'm so blessed that I have a big family that I get to go be with, and there are lots of traditions, of course, and just the familiar sights of Grandma's house on Christmas is quite a blessing. But one of the things that I really enjoy is that my grandpa has built a little nativity scene that's kind of a little wooden stable that he got from cutting sticks in the woods behind the house. And with great kind of skill, he took little hickory sticks and shaped them and made a kind of a sizable little barn-looking stable that's got straw and hay for the roof that was taken from my great-grandmother's farm. And it's got a little pen even for the donkey to go in and a little trough for the animals to eat out. It's got an attic with a ladder that goes up. It's pretty impressive. And I remember that when I got older and when I thought about what I would want for a birthday present one year and a Christmas present and just all combined, I asked Grandpa if he would make me one of those stables. And he did. And to this day, it's one of my most treasured possessions because it was made by him, by hand, with little pieces of wood from places that are special to me. But then came the task, after I had the beautiful stable, I got to get like pieces to put in it, you know, to build up your little Christmas scene. And my mom was very helpful in that, in helping me pick things out. And I noticed that as I did it, you know, you could build over time. So I started like with maybe one shepherd and a few sheep, and you know, eventually you build up and you can buy another shepherd and you can buy some more sheep. And thank goodness there are only three kings. You got to have three kings. It looks weird to have one king, but you got to buy him individual. And then one year I bought a camel, and then I got some other little figures that could go with it, and an angel and a star. And pretty soon I had built it up pretty big. But I couldn't help but notice that as I had bought all these other little pieces individually, one shepherd, a couple sheep, when I went to first start, the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, they only came together as a package deal. You couldn't get them in their individual boxes. You got one box that had Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the little manger. And I thought, how appropriate that is, really. That it's kind of saying that if you're going to have a nativity scene, if you're going to start even with just the very basics, you don't need sheep or shepherds or kings or even an angel or a star. If you're going to have a nativity scene, at the very least, you got to have Jesus, Mary, Joseph in a manger. That's really, I think, a beautiful example for us today on the Feast of the Holy Family. To say that when God decided to become one of us, he didn't just come as God, amazing as that is, as a little baby, but he came as a member of a family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph together are indispensable for God's plan for the world. Now, I know what you're thinking when you had your Christmas and got to open all those presents in that nice orderly fashion that takes place on Christmas morning. It probably looked a lot like what St. Paul described in our second reading. Heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Not so much in my house, actually. It was a total free-for-all. Presents going everywhere, yelling, screaming, just going absolutely nuts, and it looked like a war zone when things were done, quite frankly. But I suppose that's all kind of part of it, too. It means that, okay, we're not quite the Holy Family yet. Christmas doesn't certainly look like Silent Night in my family. But we would make a mistake if we look at Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as the Holy Family and think, well, isn't that great for them? And they're really nice, but boy, we're never going to have that. Then it would just make this feast day kind of like putting the Holy Family as a museum piece or something. We look at them and say, aren't they great? And then our lives look nothing like that. That's not why the church gives us this feast. Now, true, our families are not quite the Holy Family yet. But the good news is that we're not called to be the Holy Family. That's their family. We're called to be our Holy Families, and it's going to look a little bit different. And we're all works in progress. Notice that even Jesus, Mary, and Joseph had to grow and learn together. I still think that's amazing. God comes. Not only does he come as a little baby, he can't even take care of himself. He needs a family. And it says that he learns. He grows. Mary and Joseph have to grow in holiness. And think about that. Mary started out sinless, and yet she has to grow and learn. Imagine if your 12-year-old who had wandered away says to you, "Why were you looking for me?" Like, you know, "I'll tell you why I was looking for you, and I tell you I'm not going to have to look for you anymore because you're going to be locked in your room for about the next month." But, you know, that's part of what Mary and Jesus had to learn together, and they grew in wisdom and age, it says. Well, we're kind of called to do that too in our families, to grow in holiness. It's a process of becoming holy, and you know, our families are the way, really, that we do that. God knew that just as Jesus needed a family, he's kind of given us an example that we too need families. Even all the studies today show us that the best way for kids to grow up to become good and healthy, productive members of society is that they grow up in their family with mom and dad and probably a lot of extended family to help them. I have the chance as a priest, obviously, to prepare a lot of couples for marriage, to begin their family. And one of the things I noticed one time was there was a study that came out that talked about when is a good time to start having children in a marriage. And we talk about this with the couples. And, you know, today it seems like our societal wisdom is, well, put it off for a while. I mean, go out and, you know, bond together as a couple and get stable. You know, make sure you both have good jobs and that, you know, get your career out of the way and get it going a little bit, and then, you know, eventually have children. And it seems like maybe that would be a kind of a smart thing to do, to get everything stable. But the study actually showed that couples that began having children as soon as possible after they were married actually did much better. And I wondered why that was. And it went on to show that we're all a little bent on our own selfishness. And particularly, we tend to be focused on me, me, me. And when we come together in marriage, all of a sudden, it doesn't work if I'm only focused on me. But when there's just the two, there can be this pressure to say, well, marriage is about me fulfilling myself and me finding my soulmate. And pretty soon, just the normal details of living together become pretty difficult. Who left her toothbrush where and who put the toilet seat where become big deals. But then all of a sudden, when kids come along, there are way more bigger worries than just where the toothbrush or the toilet seat is. Parents don't have time to worry so much about little things because they got a big, big problem they got to worry about. Namely, how do we keep our new little bundle of joy from getting into trouble? And quite frankly, I got a little nephew, Dylan, who's a little more than 1 year old now. And most of our Christmas with him was spent trying to figure out how to keep him from killing himself. Because Dylan can walk now and move pretty quick. And he knows how to open things, and he can climb on things now, we found out. And it was just, we were all together, the entire family in one room, and the kids were running around on the floor, and pretty soon, where's Dylan? He was just here. He had run all the way around the house, behind the locked doors, to get to the other side of the whole house, and was trying to open everything as he went. It was amazing. When you've got to worry at every minute about will my kids kill themselves or each other, there's just not a whole lot of time to worry about me and what I want. You've got this other little responsibility. And I think that's part of how God helps us to grow in holiness in a family. Everyone has to be worried about not so much what's good for me, but what's good for the family. How do we build up our family? I might not want to do these chores, but I need to because mom and dad don't have time to do it, and I've got to do my part. I might not want to listen to my parents, but, you know, I need to because if we're going to work together as a family, got to listen to my parents. I might not want to take care of these kids. I might want to go watch the football game. I might want to go just have some peace and quiet. Can't do it. Got things to take care of. It's one of those things where Monsignor and I kind of sat down after we both got back to the rectory after being home with our families, and we were talking yesterday, like, so how was Christmas? Monsignor said it best. He's like, it was loud. I'm like, yeah, mine too. You know, when you live by yourself over there, you kind of take for granted that you can get peace and quiet. Moms and dads can sometimes find this pretty hard, I think, and it is one of those times where I'm glad that I'm celibate, because I can play with all the kids, and then I'm leaving. Bye. go take care of them. But this is how, ultimately, we forget about ourselves a little bit and have to grow in selflessness. To say other people are important too, not just me. And that's the great gift of our families. So as we begin to think about this new year, when probably a lot of us are going to make New Year's resolutions that don't really mean anything because flipping a calendar doesn't really do anything to help us change our lives, but it is maybe a good opportunity to think about, not even just individually, what do I want to do differently for the new year, but what can we really do in this new year to strengthen our family together? And I would just suggest that, okay, the things you do together are important. So obviously Sunday Mass has got to be the center of what a family does. Every Sunday, the family comes to Mass. Not, you know, mom and a couple kids here because the other ones are off playing sports here and then we got other practices here and there. Really fight for Sunday. Make that a day of rest, a family day, where you go to Mass together, and then in my family, we always went over to Grandma's house together, and find something to do as a family each Sunday, beginning with Mass. Then, if your Christmas, of course, was like mine, it was not all kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We need forgiveness, too. So what better way can you do that than maybe the whole family gets to confession once a month, once every other month, but put that on your calendar, too. And then maybe a family vacation. I know when I was growing up, one of the things I really looked forward to every summer was we went somewhere as a family. And most of the time, all growing up, we drove. And we drove all over this country, my family. And it was nice because we had to spend time together, as difficult as it could be. We learned to love each other, and we've got great memories together. So priests have to make a retreat every year. Maybe plan a little retreat for your family, a little vacation. I loved all the churches I went to in different cities as we were traveling. Put that on your calendar, too. And then we realize that it's not all about the physical things. There's also spiritual growth that we need. So maybe pray together as a family. Maybe the evening, the family rosary. See what spiritual practices you could introduce into your family in this upcoming year. If we're going to grow as a family, we got to make some plans. And so why not now on this Feast of the Holy Family? I pray that whatever your family looks like, it's not perfect. But they're our family, and we love them. We might not have chosen them, certainly, and we might not even like them sometimes, but they're our family, and we pray that we can all grow in holiness together, that little by little, maybe our families can grow to look more like the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.